Physical violence had never been his style, but he knew all the details, could have recited every move in his sleep. Some people got a charge from the danger and violence. Not Charlie. If anything, he was built in the opposite mould. The bellicose monks, still smelling strongly of garlic, finally reached the Father Superior's study door, and Charlie was aware that they did not even pause to knock. One of them opened up, while the other gave him a quick push, that took him on his knees to the floor directly in front of Father Gregory Scott's desk. He heard the door close firmly behind him as he slowly got to his feet, dusting off his knees as he did so. "Ah, Charles." The Father Superior leaned over the desk, spectacles perched on his nose, and a wolfish smile almost transforming the thin face. Gauntlet remembered him as he used to be, and thought, "Where be thy jibes now?" "Charles, I'm sorry. The boys." Scott let his reedy voice trail off, coughed, then recovered. "How shall I put it? Get a little out of hand is a bit of a cliché." "But that's exactly what they do." "Yes, get a little out of hand. Muscular Christians taken to extremes. The novice master calls them Friar Bacon and Friar Bungay. From the play, you know. Charles, I'm sorry you were left in your cell. It was an accident. I've only just been given the facts." "How very embarrassing for you." Charlie continued to brush dust from his knees. He did not believe Gregory Scott for one moment. "And how damned inelegant of me."
"Charles, what appears to be the real problem?"
Father Gregory Scott's eyebrows lifted into a questioning curve. "You are very steamed up in chapel. So what's wrong? What's important?"
"I don't like being locked up, for a start."
"Family rule, Charles. Family rule got out of hand.
Only when you choose it, I think."
"Maybe, but I do assure you it's for your own good."
"And then there's the case of your father, Martin."
"An old man."
"Not this one. This Father Martin's a big, bearded bastard with a hooked hooter. Old friend, old colleague of ours, I think. But you must know that he walked into the hospital in Glasgow and threatened your friend Hilary Cook."
"Ah, no. No, I didn't know that."
"Ah, indeed, Reverend Father. This Father Martin wanted documents he thought you'd entrusted to our female Biggles. Countless generations of English schoolboys have been stirred by the adventures of the intrepid fictional aviator Biggles." Gregory Scott gave a nervous little laugh.
"That's good. Female Biggles."
"It's not all that good, Gregory, but I do believe I deserve some answers."
"Such as?"
"Nearly 50 years on, I find you still flanked by two of the military police corporals who ran errands for you in Germany when we were sorting out the sheep from the goats. That's too much of a coincidence. And where's Kit Palfrey, by the way?"
"Ah, you missed him. He's here, Charles, he's fine, tucked up in his cell with a bottle of single malt.
I thought the Russians had sorted out his problem with the demon drink."
The smile again, giving a flash of yellowing teeth.
"They had. We introduced him to his old friends again."
"Isn't that against the rules?"
"Technically, yes. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup. For at the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder." "Poor kid, it was certainly stinging him like a dozen adders when I last saw him."
They were both silent for nearly a whole minute, as if they were silently circling each other, waiting for the grappling moment. Finally Charlie broke the silence, like smashing through a mirror. Pinball Wizard flashed through his head.
"Gregory, what happened to Sergeant Hammer? Hammer of the North? What happened?"
"You know what happened. He died. It was a long time ago, Charlie."
"I came in, and he was on the floor of your office, Gregory. Sergeant Hammer was on the floor. You were standing over him, and one of your precious corporals was looking on. What happened, Gregory?"
"He had a heart attack. But you knew that at the time. There was an argument, and he died suddenly. Unexpected. That's what the doctors said after the autopsy. It's what the inquest..."
"Yes, but was it the truth, Gregory? Is that what really happened? He was messing with the woman Sissel, wasn't he? Colour Sergeant Hammer."
"So?"
"Sissel was yours, Gregory. We all knew that. He poked his nose in, and more than his nose."
Gregory Scott made a disgusted noise and turned his head away. Poked his nose in and got his comeuppance. Yes?
It's a long time ago, Charlie. Sleeping dogs.
Yes, it's a long time ago.
A pause.
But it's all really about Dosh, isn't it, Gregory?
Dosh?
Quizzical. Dosh, spondulix, greenbacks, folding or in coin. That's what it's about, isn't it?
Gregory Scott looked down into Charlie's eyes, locking with him, like enemy radar, lighting him up, he thought. Then the old scholarly monk gave a small nod and puffed his lips as though playing some imaginary wind instrument.
"Isn't everything,"
he asked quietly, "isn't everything about money?"
"Hardly. You've become a man of God, Gregory, so you should be apart from such things."
"What a pity we parted company when you went home for DMOB, Charles. You could have kept abreast of the times. You have no idea about how I came to this place, what route I took to God and Calvary. Nor, come to that, the path trodden by our old comrades in arms, corporals night and day. Sorry, I should say, Deo Solovec.
You knew that,
of course. You knew that remained his real name? Never changed. Beridi Deo Solovec.
Really, is that pertinent?
Very, Charles. You see, and you'll find this difficult, I have little or no control over Father Beridi Deo Solovec, OSJ, and even less over Father Benedict, our novice master, one-time Corporal Knight.
You expect me to believe this?
Yes. That way lies your salvation, Charlie Gauntlet. That way, and a careful study of Naomi's recorded words. They're relevant. And I need to know what this Father Martin did to Hilary.
Nothing as yet.
He asked for the documents she was carrying for you.
The priest nodded.
She gave them to him?
No, but we took a look at them together.
I see. Then you know...
Scott seemed to change his mind, shook his head as though trying to rid himself of some insect that had entangled itself in his thin hair.
"Charles, the man who calls himself Father Benedict is, I suspect, on his way here now. You should know that neither he nor the man who posed as Father Martin in Glasgow have ever been near a seminary, let alone a bishop to ordain them."
The old lupine grin, and now Charlie could see it was really a somewhat frightened smile, and the eyes were less hostile, more perturbed. Gregory Scott looked away suddenly, as though he could not meet Charlie's eyes.
"Charles," he said, dropping his voice low, almost a whisper. "Charles, I'm only alive by the grace of our two old comrades. This is a dangerous place for you to be. But as you're here, I really think you should confine yourself to reading the translations made by the good fathers Hugh and Harry."
Scott stopped abruptly as his door slashed open.
"Talking about me behind my back?"
The malignant shape of Father Benedict stepped from the darkness outside, the two muscular monks hovering in his wake.